And ironically, I talked to two dear friends, Pastor Mickey in Jessup, Georgia, that I had the privilege of being his elder, and Pastor Lemuel Miller in China Hill, Georgia, that I had the privilege of being his pastor. I just called him last night and I said, what are you guys talking about tomorrow? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What are you going to... And Pastor Mickey said, we are going to do something about after the glory, after the hoopla, after everything happens, then where do you go from there? And Pastor Lemuel was kind of based on the very same thought. And I said, well, guys, I said, I think tomorrow I'm going to talk a little bit about the cost of Christmas. And, you know, everybody's here this morning. All the children are here. So you are aware that I will not be able to keep their attention very long. And so we're going to minister until they get restless. And then we'll give an altar call, have a word of prayer, and we'll do this again next Sunday. So I got kind of like that thought or theme today. And I had a lot of fun yesterday and day before yesterday, because we did the family chilling out, watching all of the lame chick flicks concerning Christmas and all of it. Anybody have to watch any lame chick flicks this but I did Little Women has been showed at our house every year for the past 25 years, and I've never watched it all the way through. I don't intend to watch it all the way through. I have no desire to watch even a part of it. But there was a part there that when the daughter cut her hair for the medicine or for the whatever it was, Seth, stand up. I don't know who you cut your hair for, but Seth, isn't this a neat look on Seth? And Seth has been told he's going to be our Jesus because Matt's going bald. Let me rephrase that. Matt is going rogue, and he's going to shave his head. He's going to be Satan in our next program in Easter, and Seth is going to be our Jesus. Seth, you better let it grow. We need to get it. We need to get it back. But one of the fun things that happened this week was we got to watch, and nobody can do it like Chevy Chase. I've always felt like Chevy Chase and Bill Murray both, and John Belushi, were all three called of God to be evangelists. I've always felt that call was on their life, and you've heard me say that before. But they've taken that talent and let Hollywood use it. But I want to show you a clip, and the reason I want to show you a clip is because about 2 years ago in South Georgia, I was so well camouflaged and I was so still that I actually had a squirrel run up my tree, run across my lap, run down the tree. I'm not sure which one was more freaked out, me or the squirrel, but it changed my life. I would tell you, I mean, now I don't dress so effectively in the woods. I don't want a hawk or a snake to think I'm a piece of wood, but there has been a time in my life when a squirrel went nuts and obviously created drama for that particular day. And so we want to share with you just a little clip. First of all, those of you that are trying to be spiritual, there's nothing spiritual about this clip. Those of you that have not seen the movie, I encourage you to watch the movie. It has several redeeming moments, especially the family prayer at Christmas. But join me, if you will, Chevy Chase, and I think it's Aunt Betsy and the family, as they are encountered by an uninvited guest.
It's a funny squeaky sound.
You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
Shh. I hear it too. Don't hear it anymore.
Thank you.
Mom, don't move. I'll try and trap it. Russ!
We're here, Dad.
Oh, there you are. Go get the hammer.
Clark, what do you need a hammer for?
I'm gonna catch it in the coat. Smack it with the hammer. I'm going in with him. Nora? Nora!
Is he gone?
Probably got scared and ran back into the tree.
You just march right over there and slug that creep in the face.
I can't just attack someone.
All right, then. If you're not man enough to put an end to it, then I am.
Like I said, there's nothing spiritual about that clip, but laughter is good medicine. It makes the heart merry and gives us something to do besides frown. And I'm just praying that the rest of this season will be a season of blessing. We've got two or three great things that are happening that I can't really I bounce some things off Pastor Rhonda, but there's some new ministry teams that are being raised up. There are being some new ministries that are taking place. And you know, as we mentioned to you earlier in the month, is we have felt like God has asked us to take a particular word of warning back to the nation. And when we made that declaration, we did not know that some of the doors were going to open as far as Daystar or TBN or I don't know if you saw Pastor Rhonda on ABC Family last Monday about 6:30 in the morning, but she was being interviewed by Joni Lamb. We never really grasp sometimes the magnitude of what God wants to do, but it's important to be able to speak the prophetic word that you feel that God has shared with you. And I don't know how many hundreds of times I've read the Christmas story. This year I got cheated out of reading the Christmas story at the Christmas dinner theater. And I promise you next year I will be back in place trying to read my Bible with my big glasses in that particular set. But every time you read the Christmas story, something new just kind of, to me, shines. And I was reading this morning just two or three places where it talks about the Christmas story. And it talks about Joseph. And it talks about some of the stuff that Joseph went through and some of the things that we know that he went through that it's not mentioned in the Word of God. But, you know, I want to give it up for stepfathers. I want to give it up for stepfathers that those that they may not have biologically, genetically sired a child, but they would take a child and raise a child as if it was their very own. And we remember the story of Elizabeth and, Elizabeth's husband, the Zacharias, that when Zachariah could not speak the full term of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and then on the eighth day, when Zachariah wrote on a piece of quill, it said that his name shall be called John, then God returned his voice to him, and he was able to speak. But that was a sign from the Lord. And so that we know that the naming of the child usually comes from the father. But we read the story of Joseph and Mary, The Bible says that when the angel appeared to Joseph and told him what was going on, the Bible said that Joseph did not put Mary away. He loved her. He supported her. He didn't have any relationship whatsoever physically with her until after the birth of Jesus. But the Bible says, and Joseph called his name Jesus. And I thought, how powerful that God would honor and Joseph was a stepfather. Joseph raised Jesus. Joseph and Mary had at least four other children that we know about. But what a good job Joseph did on raising somebody else's son. Come on, somebody help me. Is that not amazing? And that shows us today that when God turns the heart of the father back to the children and the heart of the children back to the father, it may not necessarily mean the biological father. I believe that God has placed in guys the ability to raise kids up, and once they realize that this is what God has called them to do in this window of their life, they can do as good or even a better job as maybe a biological father. Am I helping anybody? I think 2010 is going to be the year of restoration. I think 2010, a lot of people that's been praying for direction in their life, I'm single, I've got kids, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. I think God is going to seal some deals in 2010. I don't think it's going to be business as usual in 2010. I think we're going to see the spirit of what God gave to the world when he gave his son. I think that spirit is going to continue on, not just into New Year's and not into February, but continue the whole year as we begin to see God do phenomenal exploits through us. A few days ago, or yesterday or the day before, some passengers on a plane took matters in their own hands and spared the life of every single person on the plane, as there was somebody in the midst of the Christmas season had taken plastic explosives to his body, got on a airline, and while he was on the airline, there was someone that saw something suspicious, climbed three rows of chairs, tackled the guy, ripped his coat from him to find the guy's all wired with plastic explosives. Now that's what I call a hero. That's what I call a hero. I think in the kingdom of God, there's some unsung, unsighted heroes that I would like to bring attention to today. So in just a few minutes, I want to talk about the star. I want to talk about the wise men. I want to talk about the shepherds. I want to talk about the parents of Mary. But before that, before I do that, I'm going to put Roger on the spot, and I'm going to put Sarah on the spot, and I may put two or three, so be ready, on the spot. But Christmas is about family. Christmas family coming together, doing some cool things, doing some cool stuff. And I know that everybody probably has a Christmas story. I don't know. My dad told me that he got a hot potato for Christmas that kept him warm through the night, and then he ate the potato for breakfast. I'm not sure I believe that story or not. My father told me that he walked 5 miles uphill in the snow to go to school. And so when we went back to Okemah, Oklahoma, where Dad was raised, and he showed us the old home front was still standing, and then just right down the road he showed us the school. I said, "Well, Dad, I thought you walked 5 miles to school when you were a kid." He said, "Well, the miles were longer in those days." But there's always great memories of Christmas. It's always been a Davis tradition to do gags on Christmas, and we learned it from our parents. We learned it well. I remember one particular year that I had intended to put a jacuzzi tub and remodel the bathroom of our house, and we didn't have time to do it before Christmas, so I gave Pastor Rhonda 12 packages, and one package had towels, one package had soap, one package had washcloths, one package had, and in other words, every time she would open something up, I could tell she was getting frustrated because it was a stupid gift. It was towels. I was giving her towels. And then the last gift, I think I put in 10 different boxes. She had to open one, open one, open one, and there was a real nice picture of a jacuzzi tub bathroom that we have today in our home. And I loved frustrating her because I knew what the end was going to be. And my parents would always make the best gift the last gift. I don't know why we never caught on. My brother and I one night got up before anybody else got up, unwrapped all the gifts, saw what everything was, changed all the names, tags on all the packages, and went back to bed. We just thought that was cool. Well, we didn't sit down that entire Christmas season for other reasons, but to me, when I look back and I remember being raised in a Church of God pastor's home all my life, there was not an excess of money, but there was always enough. And I know Mom and Dad would always do practical things, and I remember that one year we had all of our gifts, and it was great, and it was wonderful. And then Dad got a real attitude with me and fussed at me for leaving my skateboard out in the front porch. And the reason that he fussed at me, because earlier in the year, Mom had stepped out of the front porch onto my roller derby red skateboard with steel wheels, and she went one way and the skateboard went the other, and it was fun while it lasted until I had to tell that it was my skateboard. So Dad fussed at me, and Christmas morning, Dad's fussing at me. Southern California, it's about 75 degrees outside, so he's, I want you to go clean up your toys in the backyard. And I went outside in the backyard, and there was this little red bicycle that Dad had bought at a secondhand shop, completely sanded it down, completely painted it, added all new chrome parts. It had the little and then it had the little, remember Eddie, the noise that the wheels would make, you know, when you rode. And you know, I remember that moment. I remember those Christmases where it never was really about extravagant presents. I learned a long time ago, the best things sometimes come in small packages. So it never was the biggest, most expensive present, but it was the ability to be at home with family. I want you to think about that just for a minute. I want you to reflect maybe back on some of the... Sarah, come up here and let me interview you. Sarah went with Lee University. She'll tell you why she went and what happened, but I know that while you were gone, I think there was a concern you wasn't going to get back for Christmas. So share just a little bit about what's happening at Lee, why you went, what happened, some things about that.
Okay. I get really nervous, so bear with me. We left on the 10th. It was a long flight. We got to Venice. We were all exhausted. But I got to see the Last Supper the first day, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life, because I don't know what everybody else thinks, but I just thought it was like this little painting. And it's this huge wall, like completely covered it. So that was really neat to see. I went to the Sistine Chapel too. That was awesome too. A guy in our group got kicked out for taking pictures of it, so that made that interesting. There was just so many things. The Colosseum. We went to Mass one night in Venice. We went to a couple schools there and learned about like the differences between Americans and Italy. Just tons of stuff. I don't really know.
And you got
We saw the Pope.
Saw the Pope.
That was very interesting because they just adore him, and the crowd went crazy.
Was he in the Pope Mobile?
No.
Okay.
We went to the place where he, like, I guess, spoke every week. Yeah, in the Vatican City, and I mean, it was crazy. They were chanting like it was a rock concert or something.
Wow.
So we were just like, wow. The Colosseum was like one of probably my second favorite thing, though, just because it's so old, and just imagine what it used to look like. There's just so many things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Well, tell me about Christmas morning coming home. Did it?
I missed America so much. Like, you have no idea. It was really awesome to see, but it was just overwhelming not being able to, like, understand people, and they're just so busy there. They never, like, stop to enjoy anything. They're just on the go all the time, so the food was a lot different, so I was like, oh, I'm glad to be in America. So that was good. It was a nice Christmas present just to come home.
Okay, so it's good to be home. Are we glad that Sarah's home? Dan. Thank you, Sarah. Thank God for the doors God has opened for some of our youth because of their faithfulness and consistency to education and doing the right thing. Eddie, let me put you on the spot. Eddie, you've got to promise me now, 2 minutes or less, but one Christmas, and don't tell the story about where Dad got both of us and gave us a whipping because we got cramps in our... Don't tell that story. Give it up for Eddie.
2 minutes. My dad was the greatest Christmas tree shopper that you've ever met. When we were kids in California, there was a tree lot about every quarter of a mile. We spent one particular Christmas and I think we hit every lot. We originally started in the upper part of Whittier and went all the way into Bellflower. We went back. When we finally got the tree we wanted, we went all the way back to the first place, to this tree that was so big you couldn't get it through the front door. It was just amazing. I mean, our house is, you know, just a little short house, and we were all trying to figure out how we were going to get the tree in the door. Well, Dad already figured out. You had cut the bottom off. So that was something that I'll never forget. I do not go to Christmas tree lots.
Thank you, Eddie. That was. Roger, you got a favorite moment in the Davis family tree? Come on. We'll show him off.
I wouldn't say it was a Davis moment, but as you're talking about the stepfather thing, it was probably 10 years ago now, 9 years ago, that I became a father for the first time, and it was a stepfather situation. And being able to be woke up for the first time at 6 o'clock a.m. on Christmas morning to watch my little girl open the first present that I was, as a father, was able to give to her.
Wow.
Would be that moment.
Well, can you relate? Can we give it up? Thank you, Roger. Thank you. Courtney, you want to share about the POC? You want me to share it then minister? As most of you know, that in February, well, I won't go there, but Courtney was born December 29th, and Christine was born December 28th, and on Courtney's 18th birthday, we were there at Ronna's parents' house celebrating the Christmas season. And at the end of the celebration, I told the family I had a special presentation I wanted to make. And most of you know that Courtney survived open heart surgery when she was 4 weeks old. She really is a miracle baby. And so we were honoring her and honoring her birth and honoring the fact that she had turned 18 and had not given me any unplanned grandchildren. That she's never been thrown in jail, never been on drugs, never touched drugs of any, and other than just being a teenager, she'd never given our family any. She's been an honorable daughter. So on her 18th birthday, I felt I would give her a special presentation. So I was thanking her for, being faithful to things of God, the drama, the dance, everything going on, and I told her I had something for her. And so I had a sports jacket on, and I went to look in my pocket. I couldn't find what I was looking for. Of course, the whole family, was sitting around the family tree wanting to know what my gift was. And in this pocket right here, I had a four-week-old baby chihuahua puppy, and I presented that to Courtney, honoring her for honoring the Davis household. So that was kind of a cool, Christmas moment. One more. Tyler, you got a cool one? No. Keisha, you got a cool one? No. Frazier, come on. I know Frazier's got a cool one. Frazier, you got a cool one? While Frazier's coming, let me tell you what this Christmas means to Frazier. Three Christmases sober.
I was thinking back when, as you were talking about family memories, I was thinking back two very important people in my life, my grandmothers, and I lost one last, I guess it's been last year, but the other one died. Anyway, I won't get into all that, but my Christmas memories were my grandmother's house in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Christmas is for the children. I mean, it's really... For me, I mean, it's a blessing to see what the children get and their reactions and whatnot. But my special memories would be at my grandmother's house. I still remember the address, 721 Bell Avenue. She had a very large house at the time. Big family festivities, big dinners. But just all the grandparents and aunts and uncles sitting around watching the children open the presents. It was a really special time. It's been a long time ago, about 40 years ago, but that was my special.
Wow.
Still sticks with me today.
Oh, thank you, Frazier. How many can relate to grandmas and grandpas? It's a it's a famous story. It has been told so many times, so many different ways. I am not a nativity collector, so please don't think that I want you to go out and buy me another nativity scene, because I don't. Matter of fact, I've got to next year build a new house to have new walls and new cupboards to put the stuff I got last Christmas out on the walls to show them off. Can anybody relate? And so we decided in the Davis household this year to make things a little simpler. And instead of setting up all of our font ninny, which you see some of the displays around the room, we decided to share it with the church members, because we're kind of really out of room, there's no place to put anything at. There's no wall that doesn't have something on it. And we're trying to scale back that, you know, less is more, less is better. But Christmas has always been an interesting story to me, because it so much attains to the spiritual depth that God has called many of you in this building today. When the angel approached Mary, Mary was probably 15, 16 years of age, and Mary, as the world would say, was just another brick in the wall. There was nothing spectacular about her. There was no acting ability, singing ability. Her parents were not really well-known, popular, wealthy. But Mary must have had some kind of relationship with Jehovah, for Jehovah to select her to be the mom that would bring his son into the world. And when the angel began to explain to Mary how she was going to get pregnant and what was going to happen with this child, all the things that he would do and all the opposition that would be against him, Mary could have opted out. Mary could have said, man, that's a lot of pressure for a teenager. I'm still dealing with pimples. I don't know that I want to birth I don't want to be the mother of God. I mean, when you think about it, she could have said, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. I got too many commitments. I got dreams. I got goals. I got desires. Today, I just want to remind you that whatever dreams and goals and desires that you have, try to make sure they line up with the Word of God. Because although there was a test and there was a testimony at the end of the journey, God honored a young lady, a little virgin handmaiden. God honored her and allowed her to be the hostess of the King of Glory. Mary, as a teenager, I'm sure some things began to happen in her body as the months begin to go by. Her body stopped responding the way it had earlier. Some things begin to grow. And I just would like to have been a fly on the wall when Mary told her parents that she was pregnant. I mean, how in the world did that play out? How did that go down? How did she approach it? Did she give him a cup of hot cocoa, or did she give him a Xanax? I mean, I don't know how she prepared her parents, but somehow this little handmaiden convinced her mom and dad, although she did not know a man, she was pregnant. We know that Mary was engaged to Joseph in the espousal agreement. 1 year before the marriage, the bride technically belonged to the groom. That even though they had not become one, they were still legally, technically married. When Mary went to Joseph, would you have liked to have been, Alana, would you have liked to have been there when Mary tried to tell her engaged husband that she was pregnant, but that she didn't do anything wrong? I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, can just... just trying to grasp the reality of that. And of course, Joseph didn't believe her. Would you? Come on, would you? If your 15-year-old daughter, hey, Dad, guess what? Hey, missed a couple of things, adding a couple of things. I'm pregnant. I haven't had sex. I haven't. How many of you would sit there and even though you know your children, how many would you have said, well, that's cool, so let's talk to Mom about it and see what we need to do to work it out. I'm sure we can. How many would have been that cool? We're okay. So at that moment, when Joseph realized that his fiance was pregnant with someone else's baby, the Bible says there was two things he could have done. He could have publicly exposed her, or he could put her away privately. privately. It was a family matter. The two families came together, and they said the contract has been breached, been violated, that he is no longer committed to her. She is no longer committed to him. But in a dream, think of some of the dreams you've had the past 5-10 years. Think about things that you've dreamed about that there's absolutely no way that dream could have come to pass. Last night I dreamed that I was preaching in a church that I preached in 25 years ago, and the church has gone a completely different direction. It's very traditional. It's very denominational. I dreamed last night that I was preaching, and while I was preaching, people were falling out, falling over, singing in tongues, jerking, and I woke up going, wow, that'll never. But why in the world would you dream something like that? I mean, I didn't eat anything weird before I went to bed. I didn't watch anything weird. Matter of fact, if you ever get the opportunity to watch the movie The Soloist, you enjoyed it? Oh, you're scaring me. That was the most boring, frustrating, irritating. Robert Downey Jr. is supposed to take a gun out and start shooting. It's not like, hello. I mean, Jamie Foxx was good, but he wasn't great. So I didn't go to bed last night spiritual, but I had a dream. Like Martin Luther King had a dream. Like Joseph had a dream. There was something about the dream that Joseph had. Didn't say he had a vision. Didn't say he saw an angel. It said he had a dream. And in that dream, God told him, don't put Mary away. She is the real deal. There must have been some kind of connection between Joseph and his God. He trusted his God more than he trusted tradition. He trusted his God more than he trusted society. And he decided, I'm going to honor this young lady. I'm going to be the father of this child. But I'm not going to touch her physically until after the baby is born. What a statement. What a guy. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, they would marry, live together for a while, then divorce. They could marry somebody else to have a different bedfellow. Look at the attitude of Joseph. A normal teenager, I'm sure, probably 20, 22, 23 years of age, somewhere in that bracket, but thought the things of God more important than his own dreams, his own ambitions, his own goals. So he decides to honor her. He decides to stay with her. And when Jesus turned 8 days old, the Bible says that Joseph named the baby Jesus. I think about the shepherd. What a boring, frustrating job to take care of a bunch of sheep out in the woods or out in the field with really absolutely nothing to do except practice your slingshot and your harp. I mean, I'm sure David took advantage of that time, but what a boring job to all of a sudden see a heavenly host of angels, and the angels telling them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the angels being able to witness this angelic choir, this angelic covering. But what is ironic to me is that 30 years later, there's no mention of this occurrence. 30 years later, there's not one shepherd that comes on the scene in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the first chapter of Acts and says, I was there 30 years ago in Bethlehem. I was there when the angels of God showed up. I was there when the star shone upon the baby and we went into that cave, that manger scene, and saw Mary and Joseph and the baby. We saw the angels. We saw all the angelic choir. Not one single eyewitness to that event 30 years later. I wonder how sometimes we quickly forget the glory. We quickly forget the visitation of God. We quickly forget the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. And we take sometimes the anointing so common that we get so much caught up in the anointing, it becomes so common that it has lost its spiritual value and its spiritual wealth. The word says, write the vision down. He told Timothy, begin to journal the things that your mother and your grandmother spoke over you. Go back to those promises when you were young. Go back to those days of your youth when God began to move and God began to speak. And see if God has not been faithful to the promises he's made you. If we're not careful, in any church, we'll get so carried away by the smoke and the drama and the lights and the cathedral and the choir and the parking lot, and it's easy to get caught up in all of that stuff that we miss the main purpose of God's gift, that was to bring His glory to us. So don't be like the angels that got to see that cool experience and got to see that cool movement, got to see that miracle, got to see that supernatural visitation, but 30 years later they forgot about what God said to them and what the angel said to them. Don't turn loose or let go of what God has spoken to you this past year about your purpose, your dream, your vision. I remember when the star appeared, there were some men, the Magi, off in the probably in China, probably in either Indonesia, China, from that area. They saw the star the night that Jesus was born. They began a journey. It probably took them 2 years to get from China to Israel, because you remember there were no, you know, they traveled by camel, they traveled by mule, they traveled with all the frustrations of the weather. And when they got to the place where the star had appeared, the Bible says they went to Herod, told Herod that they had read this in a prophetic word. At Micah 5:2 said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, and they began to share this with Herod, and Herod got troubled, and Israel got troubled, and so he told the wise men, when you find the child, come back and tell me where he is, so I too may go and worship him. Listen, don't take the prophetic things of God, don't take the deep things of God, don't take them lightly. I think a lot of times we speak before God's plan comes to pass, and the enemy hears what we have to say, and the enemy will try to dilute, or the enemy will try to sabotage the things of God. Many of you know that several years ago I had a burden for the youth of this city, where hundreds of kids were meeting at the old Walmart. I don't know if you remember when the Walmart was next to Blockbuster, but when the kids were meeting there, hundreds of young people, absolutely nothing to do. They would gather, and they would do whatever they could do behind their parents' back, and a real burden for them. And I felt like God showed me a ministry opportunity where we could go as a church, and we could provide hot chocolate, we provide hot dogs and snacks, free food. And I, at that time, I envisioned maybe having like a 55 Chevy with the 454 that blows flames out the side, pops wheelies, and I felt like, you know, maybe I should just drive in the parking lot, all the kids come around, look at the car, and we could start talking about the things of God. I know that sounds silly to you, but that was my dream. And I spoke that dream to a group. I was invited to Lee University, and I spoke to a group of soon-to-be youth pastors in a Bible study, and I shared that dream. Somebody heard my dream and went and made it happen. But what they did was, from countdown to blast off to orbit to splashdown, it was about a 45-minute window. And they had completely done the entire, they had a guy on a flatbed truck, he was playing music, and they were all, you know, witnessing and testifying, they had tracks, but they were done by 10 p.m. Well, the kids didn't even show up till 11:30. Hello? So I spoke something that I felt like God told me to do. Somebody else got it. It did not belong to them, but they thought it was such a good idea. They tried it. It flopped. But guess what? Sometime in the month of January, the 55 is going to be ready. It blows flames out of the side. It's got a 454. It'll pop a wheelie. And we're going to go and show that car off and get the kids come around, serve them hot chocolate, and see if they want to just chat for a while about the things of God. Somebody, if you're not careful, God will give you something. You will casually mention to someone else, and somebody will take your vision and frustrate it. And it does not happen the way God said it would. It does not take place the way that God said it would. Be careful what you say to strangers. Strange spirits, strange attitudes. when the wise men came, obviously they saw the child. It was 2 years later. The Bible says they went to the house, not the manger. They went to the house. So Mary and Joseph had settled down. Jesus was 2 years old. That's why Herod killed all the babies 2 years and younger. But that night when they came to visit the child, they brought three things: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If you've been around me, you know all about, you know, gold given to a king and frankincense given to a god and myrrh given at a funeral. And we know that he was a son of God. That's why they brought the gold. He was a king of glory. That's why they brought the frankincense. And we know that he died a sacrificial lamb. That's why they brought the myrrh. Those three gifts symbolic of what he was. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It was spiritual. However, the night the wise men left, the great celebration, the great party, the night they left, the next day, or actually that night later, being warned in a dream, Joseph gets his wife, his two-year-old baby, they pack all their things at the last moment, and they flee several hundred miles away to Egypt. See, there'll be times when God will call you out. There'll be times when God will honor you. There'll be times when God will bless you. But after the visitation, there are people that are jealous that they didn't get the word, they didn't get the visitation, they didn't get the anointing, they didn't get the opportunity. And rather than putting their face to the floor to talk to God about their destiny, they'll put their face to everybody else and run down yours. Mary and Joseph, I don't know that they really enjoyed the visit of the wise men, because Frazier, they had to leave in Israel today and now. Every father had a vineyard, and every father had an olive tree orchard, and that was their inheritance. That's what they sustained them. That's what they lived on. Joseph lost his pension. Joseph lost his retirement. Joseph lost his income. He lost the ability to be around his family the next 10 or 12 years of his life. But he had to flee, because what God had given him was so precious and so powerful, all hell wanted to take it out. I remind you, this all started with a 15-year-old handmaiden. Don't ever read the Bible and say, well, that could never happen to me. Don't ever read the Bible and say, well, I could never do that for God. Don't ever read the Bible and say, well, God could not bless me with that phenomenal wealth. You never know what God is up to. The Bible says that Mary, all those years, pondered the things that the angel had said to her about Jesus. The very first miracle that Jesus did was for his mom. Hold on to that dream. Hold on to that vision. Hold on to that promise. Let me tell you something. The depth and level of anointing is costly. There will be a spirit, there will be an attitude that will try to take you out, take you down, frustrate you, cheat you, disqualify you. And after the glory, after the word of knowledge, after the visitation, Mary and Joseph had to flee. Fortunately, the gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, they cashed that in, those gifts in, and there they sustained themselves for the next 10 years financially while they were waiting for Herod to die. Go there with me just for a minute. You do what God says, you birth God's son, you celebrate, and now you've got to leave all your family, all your friends, all your furniture, all of your stuff in your house, you've got to leave all of that, and you got to go into hiding for the next 10, 12 years of your life. There are secret things that God wants to reveal to you today. We take the timing and say, well, it's the end of December. We're stepping into January. New goals, new lists, new direction, new. And you know, if you're that kind of person, take advantage of that. Take advantage that this year coming up is not going to be like the year I left. This year I'm going to step into, I'm going to apply myself. I'm going to accomplish some things. I'm going to be more focused. I'm going to have a little better vision. I'm going to realize it's not about me, but you know what? We say it's not about us, but isn't it cool how God always comes back and rewards us when we do stuff for others? I mean, isn't that cool how God, so we say, well, it's not about me. I'm just trying to serve God, just trying to be a light, a blessing. That's all great. But take advantage of that moment, take advantage of that season, and see if God does not follow up on the promises he has made. Everything he said to Mary came to pass. Everything that he spoke to the shepherds transpired. Everything that Simeon and Anna got to see, got to hold the baby, the fulfillment of their destiny, all came to pass because God is a destiny completer. Do not allow, and there's a reason for the trash on the floor. Do not allow your Christmas just to be represented in wrapping paper. Do not let your Christmas be represented. Now, it's supposed to have a live tree, but Paul let me down, but that's okay. You should have went and cut one down. But, you know, this tree served a purpose, okay? It was cut, like Eddie shared. It was cut. It was done. Just for a minute, go with me, okay? And just assume this is a live Christmas tree. After this Christmas tree did its thing this week, it's done. It cost this tree everything to celebrate Christmas. This wrapping paper, we will not recycle. I'm not a recycling guy. If there's ever tickets given for people who don't recycle, I'll get the first ticket. How many 5 years ago they gave you two containers, one for your trash and one for your recycling thing? I made a minnow trap out of it, a recycling thing they gave me. I'm not a so everything you see here is going to go in the trash. I'll show you just one other thing, then I'll be done. This represents the things that did not get accomplished this year. There you have it. Isn't that cool? Fat angel. I made this statement, our tree has 200 angels on it. Christine corrected me and said it only has 148. It had 200, but I got lazy this year and didn't put out all that I had to decorate the tree. My God, what a word. I got too much of a hurry to put on the tree everything that I had because I got in a hurry. Saturday morning at 5 a.m. at JCPenney, I didn't even go to Sears at 5 o'clock p.m. But at 5 a.m. Saturday morning, there were hundreds of people, 5 a.m., in line to get the best of all the deals. Christmas Eve at 6:30, the Target parking lot, you could not get your vehicle in the parking lot. Yesterday, somebody blessed me with a Walmart gift certificate, so I went to Walmart. There was absolutely, I got it parked, but people were so double parked that Paul said, you'll never get that van in there. I did. I got it in there. But when we went to the store, we almost got trampled by all the people that just showed up because everybody else showed up because it's just the thing that you do. Why couldn't we allow miracles to be just the thing that we do? Why couldn't we allow anointing to be just the things that we do? Why do we have to follow the trend of the world? Why not set a trend of our own? The cost of Christmas for the next 33 years, Jesus did not fellowship with his Father in heaven. Didn't come home for 33 years. Heaven was silent without him. Heaven missed him. Heaven sensed his absence. But when he was done doing what God called him to do, he went home. Enjoy what God has brought into your life. Don't let it be about stuff. And don't let it be about stupid gifts that are worthless. I'm going to give this to Paul next Christmas. Paul, it's your Christmas present. Don't allow Christmas just to become a moment, a flashing, just getting caught up in everything, guilt giving, and you know, wrapping things that you got 4 years ago you never used. Why in the world do you think they're going to use it? You didn't use it. What makes you think they're going to appreciate that gift? Why cannot we let it be what God said it would be? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Why can't we be, instead of being the drama queen, instead of being the one that's always got something stirred up, why can't we be that peace? instead of pursuing everything else, why cannot we pursue the goodwill of God and be a blessing to this nation in the time of adversity? Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the leaders of this house that were able to come and be with us on this Sunday morning. We don't get to see what they do in the children's ministry because we're not there, but we honor them today. We thank you for those that have gone to Gatlinburg, to Kansas, to Oklahoma, to the different places they've gone to get to enjoy family. We don't begrudge that. We thank them for that. We thank that for families that are here this morning, that 300 churches in this city they could have gone to, they chose to come here this morning and worship with us. Father, let us not get caught up in the clutter. Let us not get caught up in keeping up with the Joneses. Let us not get caught up in foolish spending or getting into debt. Father, let us approach this next year as a year of opportunity, a year of transition, a year of destiny, a year of touching those kids in the parking lot of Walmart, a year of putting on the dinner theater 5 nights in a row for all the homeless people in the city, a year of making sure there's not a single hungry family, there's not a single person without a coat. Let us allow our goals to be small but worthwhile. And God, as you begin to see that we are doing the little you told us to do, then you will begin to distribute to us the great things. We're glad that Sarah and the kids are home. We're glad that this year everyone was allowed to sit with family and friends. We honor the Robinson family and those that lost family this year. Father, we honor Amy this morning, 5 children, 3 of them in diapers, that is not sure what she's going to do with the loss of her mom. Let us be reflective on those that have lost and allow us to take our extra and give in Jesus' name. And they all said, thank you so much for wrestling with. Actually, our kids did great. How many saw our kids? You see how good they did? Our kids did great. At Harvest, we do not pass the plate. We've not passed the plate 21 years. We give you opportunity to bring God's tithe. That's something that God